Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody. Welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Meathead with us today. If you go and check out the show, if you jumped right into After Hours and didn't listen to the regular version of the show, you got to fix that because it's a really good show. We've got some good stuff in there for you. Meathead, of course, is from AmazingRibs.com. And we'd also like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef, not brief. We were talking about scotch. Off the air, and all of a sudden my tongue got tied. Blah, blah, blah.
So, yeah, right. I mean, I you know, I'll eat just about anything, but I'm not eating anybody's briefs.
No, that's a bad deal, Maynard. Trust me.
Yeah.
On that, bad enough when you wake up in college and yours are hanging on your doorknob, so, and the entrance door. Put it that way. So anyway.
I have 16 comebacks and I can't do it.
I know it. Well, when I see you in Memphis next year, we'll talk about that. So, let's talk some more about the barbecue stars real quick.
It's a very interesting concept. The prototype is a series called Master Classes. And if you've never seen it or stumbled into it, you want to go look at it. Really a smart concept. The Masterclass series has brought in people like Steven Spielberg to do a series of classes on directing. Yo-Yo Ma, novelists, same. I mean, they got Simone Biles to talk about being a gymnast. And they got Aaron Franklin talking about barbecue. Thomas Keller. Alice Waters. So there's some really top people, and they do a series, you know, 10 or 12 shows. This is a series that somebody else has organized that is strictly barbecue, and they've rounded up 11 barbecue stars, they call us. There's Tuffy Stone, who just won the Memphis and May competition. He's won just about everything. He's on Barbecue Pit Masters on TV. He's one of the regular judges. Harry Sue, who is out of California, and he's won everything on the West Coast at one time or another. And he's amazing because he cooks on a Weber Smoky Mountain, a $300 smoker. And he's doing a whole series of cooking emphasizing Asian flavors. They got Kent Rollins, the cowboy cook, he calls himself. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kent is really good. Kent is a specialist in cast iron and chuck wagon cooking. And he's showing how to use a Dutch oven and, backcountry cooking and stuff like that. And he cooks, he's really, you know, wilderness style cooking.
Sure.
They got the two guys who started the Steak Cooking Association, and they're, of course, doing steaks and beef roasts. Bob Pittman. Bob Pittman is somebody else I know. Matt Pittman from Meat Church down in, I think he's in Texas, is doing a series of videos. And so it's a really interesting and eclectic group. Ariane Dogan, who imports foie gras, and she's talking about different cuts of meat and butchery and such. So it's really interesting. There's going to be all told somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 80 to 100 segments. I just got today the first cut and edit on my segments, and I'm doing, there's 14 segments that I do. And so far, I'm just delighted. I'm making notes on what they need to do in the way of edits and rearrangement, and there's almost nothing. They're really, you know, you get to a certain age when you have good days and bad days,
yep.
And you don't know when you're talking on the radio to your buddy JT if you're going to be good, if you're going to be on, or if you're going to be off. And I was on for the whole series. I nailed it, and it was great, and I'm really happy with what came out of it. And we do some fun stuff. We're doing a Chilean sea bass. We're doing four different ways of smoking salmon. We do a porchetta with pork belly. We're doing pulled pork. Talk a lot about the science of barbecue and grilling. We're doing sous vide Q, from the sous vide bath to the top of a charcoal chimney at over 1,000 degrees for steaks. Just a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of fun stuff.
Well, it's good, and it's good. And how can people partake?
Well, they can just come to our website, and you'll see a promo for it on all the pages on the website, or just go to tinyurl.com/BBQ stars.
Okay.
That's barbecue stars. tinyurl.com/BBQ stars, and you'll see the whole lineup of all the barbecue stars. You'll see what we're cooking, and you'll be able to get on the wait list. By the time this airs, they will have closed registration, but they may open it again. I think they'll open it again sometime in September. I'm not sure, but you get on the wait list in any case.
There you go. Because I had Matt Pittman on. I talked to him 2 weeks ago.
And, oh, okay.
And he was talking about this. And is Bob Trudnack doing something with you guys too?
No, not in this series.
Not in this series.
Pittman did a really cool pork belly burnt ends. And I've done those for years, and I love them. But he showed me a trick or two that I hadn't used yet. So it's cool.
Yep. Yep. That's all good. That's all good. So let me ask you a couple of not so much directly cooking questions, but questions that I know that once in a while somebody will send me an email or something and say, hey, the next time Meathead's on, ask this. So what I do is I kind of compile those into one or two questions. So here's the question.
Yeah, we ought to do a whole Q&A section one day. That'd be fun.
We can do that. Here's today's Q&A question. How much has your cooking style changed in the last 8 years?
Oh, a lot. I am constantly learning, and I'm constantly experimenting. I'm constantly trying new things. I really want to think outside the box. Now, my first book was called Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling, and the first half was essentially a science book, all about the technique, what the chemistry of meat is, and the physics of smoke and fire, and it was like a little science text. And then the second half were the classic barbecue recipes, ribs and brisket, and a few experimental fun things. My next book is outside the box, all kinds of Asian flavors, Spanish flavors. And I'm learning as I go. The next book is called Barbecue Science Meets Art. And I'm trying to get artsy here. And I'm doing all the photography. I'm doing some really neat stuff with the photography, too. So I'm constantly learning. I'm always in search of new flavors, new combinations. And the beauty of it is it allows me to dine out and steal ideas from great chefs and write it off as a business expense.
Well, we've talked about this before, but I think I'm not blowing smoke for both you and me here and a lot of the people we know, but I think all great and creative cooks look at somebody else's work and they admire it.
Oh, yeah.
But then they go, but in my mind, I might to this X, whatever X is. And I think that that is a great way to kind of honor or respect the other cooks, the other chefs, whatever you want to call them, whatever recipe they've created. They worked hard, they experimented, they did that. But you're kind of paying an homage, if you will, to somebody when you say, okay, I did this, but I added bacon to it. And a lot of times...
You did that in the earlier segment on the air. You told us a great idea for a tomato and bacon and feta recipe.
Yep.
And the first thing that entered my mind is, oh, I'd put a little basil and some chipotle on there.
Yep.
But the thing is, and this is important, especially if there's any bloggers listening out there, when that happens to you, please give credit where credit is due. This is a recipe that I took and was inspired by Joe's Barbecue and Grill restaurant, and I took it and I varied it or something. I picked it up out of a Stephen Raiklin book or something, and I changed it a little bit. Or if you're just doing it straight, you have to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
It's called intellectual property, and it's not right to copy and claim it as your own. But I'm constantly doing it, and in my world, it's really easy because I eat in a restaurant, and I'll taste it, and I'll say, well, this recipe would be great on a grill because it's usually, you know, not on a grill, you know. So I'll say, okay, how do I adapt this to the grill or the smoker? But I give credit where credit is due. And the key word is inspired by.
Yep.
Or, you know, this was inspired by a restaurant at Harry's Barbecue Restaurant or something.
Well, if you look at chicken cordon bleu, as I always like, bleu. But I took years ago, I took a chicken breast, and I was back in the Western phase of things. And I don't know if I called it the good and the bad, the ugly or something, but it was a Clint Eastwood kind of takeoff on the title of this recipe. But I took it and I rolled the breast out and I put... I can't even think of everything I put in there now, but I put some like diced chilies and diced tomatoes, and I put some prosciutto, and I put some couple different kinds of cheeses in there, and then I rolled it up, and I put did an egg wash, and then put the panko type stuff on it, and then I ended up baking it, and then I put a béarnaise sauce on it. Was it Bernays or Holidays? I'd have to go look at the recipe. It's been so long since I made it. But, you know, that was kind of inspired by looking at some classic cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's a wonderful recipe, and it's great. And they whenever I've served it to people, and I served it with roasted, diced up red potatoes with basil and stuff on them and olive oil drip and all that stuff. Anyway.
You worked your butt off on that recipe. It sounds fantastic. And, yeah, it's inspired by chicken cordon bleu.
Yeah.
But the only thing it bears in resemblance to it anymore is the chicken and the ham.
Right.
Everything else is your riff. It's a jazz riff. You know, you listen to Miles Davis, and he plays a variation of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I mean, yeah, Somewhere Over the Rainbow was originally written by someone else. But Miles takes it and runs with it.
Yep.
That's fantastic. There's no reason why not to.
Yep, exactly. Now, one last question for you, my friend, and then class will be out for the day. Is how has your families, like your wife in particular, how has her palate changed over the years since you've started all this stuff?
Well, that's a really interesting question. We are coming up in 2 weeks on our 45th anniversary.
Yay!
And it has been a long road. And I was just thinking, I didn't say it aloud to her the other day. I want to talk to her about it. But I've noticed how, I mean, we came from very different backgrounds. I was raised mostly in the South. My family is Jewish. I don't practice the religion, but my culinary background comes from that culture. She's an Italian-American from the south side of Chicago. So our palates have evolved, not only in food, But in theater, we do a lot of theater and movies that we like. And we really have grown closer to each other and what we like to do and how we like to spend our time. And I think it's interesting. I think marriages that don't last this long are because they grow apart rather than together. But, you know, I mean, when she says, I'd like to go see such and such movie, it's like, yeah, I agree. Let's go see this movie. And, you know, there's little question about when we want to go to see a play, what play we want to go see. And the same thing with food. And we work together in the kitchen. Indoor cooking, I'm her sous chef. She will, you know, all the vegetables and stuff go rolled out on the table, and I'm in charge of chopping, slicing, dicing while she does the assembly and the cooking. When we're cooking outdoors, it's reversed. But I got to tell you, I'm the second best cook in this house.
Yeah, I get it. I get that. Meathead, it was great. Again, I'm going to throw something at you here really quick. Tell everybody how they can, if they want to send you an email or a note, you know, give us your website again and maybe your Twitter handle, something like that, so people can contact you.
These are all easy. The website's AmazingRibs.com. It is by far the largest and most popular barbecue and grilling website in the world, bar none. And I'm easy to reach. I'm Meathead at AmazingRibs.com. Or if you go there, there's a tab that says about us, and in there's a contact us page. On Twitter, I'm at Meathead. On Facebook, it's Facebook.com/AmazingRibs. I don't do much in LinkedIn and Instagram yet, but we do post every day around 3 o'clock Central Time a cooking idea, a cooking tip, a recipe, a concept, something along those lines, and then that's supplemented during the course of the day by other things. Today I read an interesting story about the West Coast salmon harvest is the biggest it's ever been, particularly in California. And I mentioned that in a tweet along with some salmon recipes. So
there you go.
Fun stuff.
There you go. Meathead, my friend, I can't wait till a little later in the fall. We'll get you back, of course, for some tailgating stuff and then Turkey Day and Christmas and all that. And it's always fun. So I thank you.
Love talking to you. Love talking to somebody who knows how to cook like you do.
I appreciate that. We'll be back next week with another edition of After Hours here on The Nation. Until then, get out there and cook something, everybody. Take care.